Okay, so let's pray once again and ask the Lord to open his word to us. Father, we thank you again for this evening, Lord, and bringing us all together, Lord, to sit at your feet and to learn of you, to learn from your word about a virtuous woman, Lord, and what she looks like and what we can look like in your strength and through your spirit, Lord. And so we ask that you would just give us understanding of this verse this evening, Lord, and reveal just what you have to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week we looked specifically at Proverbs 31, verse 10, and kind of tore it apart a bit. And looked at just what this verse means for us and what the Lord feels about us as women. And so it says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And if you read it in the King James, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And I really like what the King James has to say and the way he calls her a virtuous woman, because as we remember from last time we met when we looked at this, we said that this is a king's mother sitting down with the future king and saying, this is the type of woman that I want you to look for to marry. So this woman is not yet even a wife. It's a woman that has this character. And yes, when we do get married, we become a virtuous wife. But if we are a virtuous woman ahead of time, and this is a virtuous woman that she is telling him to look for. So before she can be a wife, she has this character before ever becoming a wife. And so it's a description of a woman who is going to make a good wife. And I want to take a look at Ruth, because for just a little bit, highlight a couple things about Ruth, because in there, Ruth is described in a very similar way to this woman in Proverbs 31. And I'm going to look at chapter 3, verse 11 first. This is Boaz talking to Ruth. She has, in a sense, proposed to Boaz. Here she is laid down at his feet, basically asking him, will you take me as your wife? And this is what he has to say to her in verse 11 of chapter 3. It says, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. At this point, she is not married. She was married earlier to one of Naomi's sons, but she is no longer married because he has passed away. And she has been working, gleaning the harvest in Boaz's field. And he has seen her work ethic. He has seen how she cares for Naomi, her mother-in-law. And all the people of the town, this says, know that you are a virtuous woman. And if we look back, what made her virtuous? Well, one of the things, obviously, was her work ethic as she gathered this harvest for Naomi to provide for her mother-in-law, and also how she treated the other women that were in the field, the men of the field and Boaz's. But I want to look at chapter 1 a little bit, another aspect that made her a virtuous woman. If we look at verse 15. If you know any of the background of Ruth, you know that there was a famine in the land, and Naomi and her husband Elimelech took their boys and moved to Moab because the famine was great. And while they were there, the two boys met Moabite women. Ruth was one of them. They got married, and as they're in the land, the two boys die, and Naomi's husband dies, and Naomi means beautiful, and she becomes very bitter while she's there because she's lost her husband, she's lost her son, there's this great famine, and she feels basically like the Lord has forsaken her in this place. And she hears that the famine is over in her land, and so she's going to go back. She tells her daughters-in-law, she says, you know, go back to your families. Don't come with me because I have nothing to offer you. Even if I got remarried, by the time my sons are grown up, they're not going to make husbands for you. So go back to your families. And the one daughter-in-law says, okay, I'll go. But Ruth says, no way. I'm going to stay with you. She's seen something. Even though Naomi has become bitter in this place and feels like the Lord's forsaken her, Ruth has seen something in Naomi and she's desiring it. And in verse 15, she says, Ruth says to Naomi, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, or more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And I believe that this is part of what makes her a virtuous woman. For one, she has seen Naomi's God through Naomi. And she desires Naomi's God. She sees that there's something different about him. And she wants to go after him. And so she's willing to forsake everything that she has. She's a Moabitess woman. She's willing to forsake her family and leave all of that to follow after the Lord and to go with Naomi to her land. She says, where you go, I'll go. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stick with you. She says, where you lodge, I'll lodge. You know, whatever home you have, I'm going to make that my home. She says, your people will become my people. You know, she's willing to leave the Moabites and become like Naomi, to follow after God's people, to become one of God's people. And she says, your God will be my God. She's proclaiming now that she believes in the one true God, and she's going to make him her Lord. Where you die, I will die. So she's planning to stay with her. You know, she's not going to leave her. She's not going to forsake this woman who has become her mother now. And, you know, and she even says, let the Lord do so to me if anything but death departs you. She's making a vow to this woman, and she's saying, I'm not going to break my promise. And that makes her, as part of her virtue, is she's coming under Naomi's wing. And so she comes back with Naomi, and part of her job in this home is to go and gather food for the family. And so part of the custom in Israel at this time was that when it was harvest time, the harvesters were to come through the fields. They were to gather whatever grain they were doing. Could be have been wheat, could have been barley. And as they gathered, they were to purposely leave some of the wheat behind, some of the barley, whatever it was that they were gathering, so that the poor and the needy could come behind and gather what remained. And so Ruth's job was to go behind the workers of the field at the time and to glean what was left. And she was very industrious at this. She was a hard worker. She always went home and provided for her and Naomi the food that they needed. She never cut back. She never put a half effort into it. She did it wholeheartedly. And Boaz saw this, and the people of the land saw this. And eventually, you know, Boaz figures out who she is, figures out the family relationship, and asks her to stay and to continue gleaning. And he even instructs his harvesters, leave some for her. Make sure she has enough. Make sure she has more than enough. You know, don't ever let her go empty-handed from here. And so he's already taking care of her. But she was a hard worker. So part of her being a virtuous woman was that she left all to come and still care for her mother-in-law. She was a hard worker. She stuck close by. And the words of her mouth were pure. people could see it, and people can see it of you and I. If we're a virtuous woman, they're going to see a difference in our lives, and they're going to say, that is a virtuous woman, when they look at us. And that's exactly Boaz's words in 3:11, was, now my daughter, do not fear, I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. And it was because of her character. She was a beautiful woman, but that wasn't what made her virtuous. It wasn't what was on the outside. It was what was coming from the inside of her that made her seem as virtuous. And in the end of the story, she does eventually end up marrying Boaz, and her family ends up in the line of Jesus, in the genealogy of Jesus. And so here you have this Moabitess woman who shouldn't even be in that genealogy, but because she's a virtuous woman and because of the path she took and the character of her heart, her family falls in that line of Jesus. And that's an awesome thing, because we are all Gentiles, but because of what the Lord has done in us, we are part of his family. And so she's called virtuous woman. And if we look at Proverbs 31:10, again, it says you can find a virtuous woman. And in our homework this week, we looked at this word virtuous somewhat in depth, and we looked at the meaning of it. And hopefully, as you looked up meaning or you cross-referenced different versions of the Bible, hopefully you saw some of these meanings of the word virtuous. Words like valor, excellence, righteous. She's a chaste woman. She's a moral woman. She is a capable woman. You could see in Ruth, she was capable of gleaning this harvest and carrying it home. She is noble in character. She is worthy of respect. She is an intelligent woman. She's a competent woman. She's a valiant woman. One version that I looked at even said she's perfect. Now that perfection can only come through Jesus himself, because none of us can be perfect. One definition that I looked at was she has a strong character, a mighty character. She is an efficient woman. She was a force. And so as we look at this, there's two sides to this as we look at this woman. There's a physical side to this woman, and there's also a inner side to this woman. Our homework brought out the virtuous woman's strength. And as we look at virtuous in this context of who can find a virtuous woman, it actually is a military term here that is being used. And its meaning is a force, army, ability. And when we look at somebody in the military, they are usually capable men and women who are prepared for battle. And the virtuous woman is, by definition, a capable woman who is ready for battle. She's ready for whatever the Lord brings into her life, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual. He has prepared her for that battle, whatever it is that comes in. And the two aspects are, in the military anyway, there's a mental toughness that our soldiers have, and there is a physical toughness, a physical strength that our soldiers have, and a physical energy. And this virtuous woman has a powerful body requiring physical energy. And I just want to point out in Proverbs some of the stuff that show in Proverbs 31, some of the areas where she is going to need physical strength or energy. We look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax. She works willingly with her hands. So she uses her hands and is going to need energy as she gathers in wool. In verse 16, we see that she plants a vineyard. So she's using her hands for planting. In verse 19, we see that she not only has gathered in the wool, she's also going to spin the wool. So she is using physical energy ability here. In verse 18, it says that her lamp goes not out by night. So she is working, you know, from morning till evening. That's not an easy thing to do because we get tired, so she does need physical strength for that. In verse 20, she reaches her hands to the needy, so she is caring for the poor. In verse 22, she is making tapestry for herself, her family. She's making clothing, again, physical energy. And remember last week, or last time we met, that we talked about, we are looking at some physical things here, that it's not the actual activities that she's doing that makes this woman virtuous. Again, it's her character. It's how she does these activities. It's the way that she does them. And we all have different tasks that the Lord has given each one of us. And it's how we do them that's more important than the what that we're doing. It's the character behind what we do. Again, in verse 24, she's making linen garments. She's supplying sashes for the merchants. In verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's not slothful. You know, she's busy, but for the Lord and what He wants her to be doing. And that's what we never want to say, oh, I'm never doing enough. I'm not, you know, we want to be doing what the Lord has us doing. And an aspect of that is going to be in the physical realm. We do have jobs to do, and we want to be doing them well for the glory of the Lord. So the virtuous woman does have this physical aspect to herself. But not only that, and I believe more importantly, she has a mental toughness, a strength of character that we see in her. It's the internal qualities that are making her beautiful, valuable to the Lord. And so again, as we look through these same verses, if you're looking at them through strength of character, we're going to see the other aspect, even in these same verses. In verse 10, the verse we're looking at, who can find a virtuous woman? Her worth is far above rubies. If her worth is far above treasure, there's a purity about her. There's something of value in her. In verse 11, it says the heart of her husband safely trusts her. She is an honest person. She's trustworthy. If we look at verse 13 and verse 19, they're talking about what her hands do. She works willingly with her hands. Her hands are holding the spindle, but she's industrious. That's an inner quality that comes out in her. Again, in her industrious character, also in verses 21 and 22, as her household isn't afraid of the snow. They know that she's protective. She's going to be watching over her household. Verse 24, she's supplying garments to the merchants, and there's a quality about her work. She's not going to do a half-hearted effort and bring poor quality stuff to the merchants to sell. She's got a quality about her. And verse 31 of this chapter says, give her of the fruit of her hands, so she's a fruitful woman. Let her own works praise her in the gates. So her work speaks for itself. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she's got that strong character, that honorable quality to her. Because obviously we can't physically dress in strength and honor, but there's this character about her where people see her as strong, and what's coming out of her mouth, her actions speak louder than her words. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. So she's going above and beyond we might say, the call of duty, you know, as we look at the soldier aspect of this woman. She's kind. If we look at verse 20, it says she extends her hand to the poor. She reaches her hand to the needy. So she's kind. Verse 26 also, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So she's in the Word. She knows what it says, and she uses her tongue in a proper way, in kindness. And I'm sure that's to her family as well as to those that she works with. And again, in 26, we see wisdom, that she's a wise woman. She's seeking wisdom, and she speaks wisdom. It says she opens her mouth with wisdom. And she's holy. In verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. So those are the outside things. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. So she's a woman who fears the Lord. She has a proper reverence of the Lord, and is going to be seeking after those things. And because of that, it says she shall be praised. It's like Ruth. All those in the town see and know that you're a virtuous woman. If they see these qualities in us, they're going to be able to say, that's a virtuous woman. Look at the kindness that comes from her mouth. Look at the wisdom that she speaks with into situations. Look at that strong character. The honesty. Look at how she talks about her husband. Look at how she cares for those in her household or those who come under her care. Look at the work of her hands. It's a quality work. She's not trying to get away with anything, but she's a hard worker. And so those are qualities that make her virtuous. And so again, we see inner strength coupled with outer action. They go together. You really, I don't believe, can truly have one without the other. If you're a virtuous woman, you're going to have both. But the inner character is going to lead to the outer actions. And if we look at James, he has a couple things to say about the coupling of inner and outer together. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So he's coupling hearing the word, so we've got the word inside of us. There's that inner character. Don't be hearers only, but be doers. So our what's inside should be coming out and should be seen in our lives. That faith coupled with works. And he goes on to describe it further in chapter 2, starting at verse 14, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so Paul is just encouraging here, James here, that your faith should be coupled with action. Because if you tell somebody who has no clothes, go be warm, but you don't give them a coat, it really doesn't help anything. And we see in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman is reaching her hands out to the needy. She's maybe helping with a food pantry, or she's helping out with a clothing drive, or she works at the pregnancy care center, or, you know, she's not only sees that there's a need there, but she's actually doing something about it. And so James here is saying, you know, we have this faith, but we don't want to just let it sit inside. We want to do something with it. And that shows what's on the inside by what we're doing on the outside. And this virtuous woman, I believe, is doing that. And we see that in her. And we want to be doing that. And God views that as valuable. Because in verse 10 of 31, he continues and he says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So, she is this strong woman who has these inner qualities that are displayed in the physical outward actions. And he says her worth or her price is far above rubies. And rubies, as we know, is a treasure. They're valuable. They're costly. And God says that her worth is far above them. Her price is far above them. And far in the Strong's is said to be an incredible distance. So it doesn't even come close to the price of a ruby. It's far above that. And if you guys happen to go to that part of the homework where it said, look up how they harvest gems. It's pretty fascinating. And I didn't look up rubies, but I looked up diamonds and how they refine diamonds. And it's pretty interesting because diamonds oftentimes are in igneous rock, which is volcanic rock, which we know becomes extremely hard. So it's a hard substance, and it's around these gems. And a lot of volcanic stuff is deep below the ground. So they have to go in, and they have to mine these rocks out of the ground. So they have to go after them. They have to search for them to get these rocks. And they go in, sometimes it says, to even the depth of 1,750 feet down, to get these rocks out of the ground. And so they're going to go and they're going to harvest these rocks out, and the diamonds are held within this rock. And so they take this rock out of the ground, and first it goes through a crushing because they have to release the gems out of this igneous rock. So it goes through this crushing where they take these rollers and they bring them back and forth, and they roll over this rock several times to make it easier to transport, but also to bring it into smaller chunks. And they crush it first, and then after that they separate it, so because it's still not loose, it's still held in smaller chunks of rock now, and so they have to separate them. So again, it goes through another process of gravity device where they add, it's like a tiller, and they add a substance into these rocks, and it will raise, it's like a wash pan, and it'll raise stuff that's not as dense to the top, but the diamonds themselves are more dense, so they'll fall down into this liquid, and it separates them. And so then they pour off the stuff that is of no value, and they have the gems at the bottom of the pan or the heavier materials, but still embedded in pieces of rock. And so they then make a stew called a slurry, and they put this in to this glue, and it does basically the same thing. It separates it even further. It shakes them up, and again, it separates more to the top and allows the heavier stuff to the bottom, and they pour it off again. And then they use centrifugal force, and they spin it around, and still separating, and then through this whole process, more and more of the rock is being separated from the gem. And then it goes through this greasing process where they grease up the whole thing, and again, it's all vibrated, and as it's greasy, like a petroleum-type jelly thing, it's shaken up, and it allows more of the rock to break away from the gem. And they heat it, and they boil it, and it removes all the traces of the grease. So now it has to go through this heating process, and all right, we made these things slimy, and so now we have to take this slime off, and so it goes through this boiling process, and eventually they have the gem itself, But it's not what we consider a diamond. It's not like what's in our engagement rings or in our earrings or anything yet, because it's all in a raw state. It's not a beautiful thing at this point. So these chunks of diamonds then go to jewelers who will grind them down to a certain point. So they go through a grinder. And then they will go through a cutting process where the jeweler knows exactly there's a breaking point of this diamond, and the jeweler will study it in its raw form, and they will find its weak spot, and they'll put a chisel to it or a knife to it, and then they'll just pound it with one knock, and it'll break it apart. And then they'll take another knife, and they'll cut more and more of it away until it eventually becomes the shapes that we have in our rings and our earrings. And so the diamond really does go through quite a process to become what we consider valuable. And I know that this says that a virtuous woman is far above a ruby. But I think we can also look at ourselves as this gem. None of us are this virtuous woman without work in our lives. We all have to go through a refining process to become like this woman. She didn't come here overnight. The Lord had to bring her out of her sin, had to perhaps shake a few things off of her. You know, we all have baggage that the Lord is going to take away, that he has to chisel out of our lives some of those hard places that we've allowed to come in our hearts. And it's a refining process before we become beautiful. There's a lot that needs to be taken away, a lot that needs to be removed. And that process is going to continue through our whole lives as he continues to refine, to chisel, to knock something out here, or to maybe shake something off there. But as we know, God considers us when we do go through this and we become this virtuous woman, that he considers it very valuable, a treasure worth attaining. And in our homework, we also looked at just the lengths that God went to for us. We know that he left heaven aside to come to earth to die for each one of us, for each one of our sins to be forgiven, and just how valuable his bride is to him, and how he describes her as a precious treasure. We know through the parable of the pearl of great value, you know, that this man was willing to give up everything to get that pearl, and that we're that pearl that he was willing to give up everything for. And that it's something that is good to be sought after, and that she is hard to find, because at the very beginning of verse 10 it says, who can find a virtuous woman? So she is something to be sought after. And she's worth finding, as we know that Jesus went after her with all that he had. And it says in verse 29 that many have done well, but thou excels them all. And so it's very worth finding this virtuous woman. And it's not out of arrogance that she can, you know, is even said of, you excel them all, because there's nothing that we can boast in except our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done in us, and it's all for his glory if and when he does do these works in us. And if anybody does ever look at us and say, you are a virtuous woman, we can point right back at him and say, it's all because of him and the work that he has done in our lives. And so I believe this woman is something definitely to go after, a character that we would want in our lives, our own lives, and worth fighting for in our lives. If there's an area of struggle, it's worth handing it over to the Lord and saying, help me with this. I struggle with this, and remembering that it's the inner character that makes this woman beautiful, inside and outside. And that it's precious and valuable to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this woman. We thank you for her inner character, her inner strength, Lord, which is beautiful and valuable to you, Lord. And we know that it is attainable, or you wouldn't have it in your word, Lord. And so we pray that you would help each one of us, Lord, to examine our own hearts, Lord, our own lives, and to search after those things that you have, Lord, that make a woman virtuous, Lord, and that we would seek after those and ask you to help us in those areas that we struggle with, Lord, and that you would encourage us in those areas that you've already worked out in us, Lord, and that we would be virtuous women, Lord, and whatever we do, Lord, in our homes, in our jobs, Lord, and our dealings with people, and our dealings with the world, Lord, that as Ruth was seen as virtuous by all the town, Lord, that there would be something in our lives that people would be able to see. There's something different about her, Lord, and we know that it's only you, Lord, that our works would be worthy of praise, Lord, but worthy of bringing glory to you, Lord. And so we pray that you would continue to work at our lives, Lord. Chisel out those areas that are unbecoming of you, Lord, and make those cuts, grind those areas, refine, Lord, and continue making us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.